AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Wheat buyers moved out of the market while corn prices continued to cling to nearly unchanged levels. Bean oil prices helped bean futures close slightly higher, while cotton prices were mixed. The cattle complex pushed to the upside while lean hog futures continued to consolidate.
Live from the summit of Hump Day! Day! Hello! Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Ben Rand from Blue Line Futures and the Home Agency. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you, buddy. 68 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of cloud cover out there. The sun is trying to break through, So we've got some filtered sunlight out there, but another beautiful day in Northeast Iowa, and in here it is. What is it, March 13th?
13th of March, you betcha.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Another sweet one down here in KC, too. 73 degrees and sunny. I've got the windows open. I am absolutely full of vim and vinegar today.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you that right off the top here, buddy.
Well, then we all need to just kind of beware of Davis for the rest of the show, which makes me wonder, how do you know we're at the summit of Hump Day? I mean, to me, the summit would kind of be like at the end of the day.
Sure, sure. One would think you can tell by the echo. And that's why I did that little audio experiment to just demonstrate that, like, this is it. This is,
gotcha.
Yeah, this is the top.
Gotcha.
The tippy
well, then
top,
we are
if you
clearly
like.
Clearly at the summit. Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of days left to make final decisions. I understand that on crop insurance, a lot of those decisions have already been made. If you're still contemplating, we're going to go over some of those options and look at crop insurance and some of the insurance products from a different angle than maybe you have done in the past.
Oh.
We're going to do that with Ben Rand from Blue Line Futures and the Home Agency. And then, of course, we got to talk about what's going on in the livestock trade and figure out what is the best way to approach the risk management in livestock, in the cattle market in particular. Dude, we're knocking on the door of $1.90 in futures. It's just incredible. If you don't think it's time to maybe think about some downside price protection in fed cattle, then when would you think it?
Yeah. So, there's one thing we know about cattle. It's that they can't run forever, you know?
That's right. That is true.
That's the one thing I know about cattle.
All right, let's get to it. What else you got?
Chip, May soft red winter wheat futures opened higher, dropped to spike support at 540 before recovering to close mid-range. Even after the upside price recovery the first 2 days this week, wheat futures remain in a pattern with lower highs and lower lows. Support in May SRW wheat futures is at Monday's low of 523.5. A close below that level would extend downside risk in SRW futures to the $5 level. May hard red winter wheat futures were challenging the pattern by trading above the February 27 high, but today's close back below that level opens risk to the March 6 low of 551.5. July HRW wheat futures 8 cents lower today, 579.5. July SRW wheat down 2.5 to 558.25. July spring wheat closed at 667.5. That's down 8 cents today, Chip.
Two very different chart patterns happening in soft red winter and hard red winter wheat right now. So the markets are trying to figure out which one's going to be the leader going forward.
May corn futures posted an inside trading day with a mid-range open and a close just slightly below the opening range. May corn is consolidating around the 440 level until more is known about the Safrinha corn crop in Brazil. The primary area for second crop corn is in need of rain, and the 10-day forecast is mostly dry, Chip. Crop watchers expect the first round of stress on the Safrina corn crop to develop by the end of the month. Ethanol production in the week ended March 8 averaged 1.024 million barrels per day, down 33,000 from the previous week, but still 1% ahead of the same week last year. Ethanol stocks down 269,000 barrels to a still hefty 25.782 million barrels. May corn futures were a half penny lower today at 441 and a quarter. July corn down a quarter of a cent to 453 and one half. December corn futures closed at 473. That's up a quarter of a cent, Chip.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like we're going to have to gear up for another weather market in this corn. Get ready for that.
Soybean meal futures tried to pull bean prices lower, but gains in the bean oil market helped bean prices climb to the plus side of unchanged late in the day. May bean futures got to within a penny of resistance at $12 before posting a high-range close. Bean oil prices were supported by higher crude oil prices and by the highest close in Malaysian palm oil futures in more than a year. May soybeans were 0.75 cents higher at 11.96 and 3/4. July beans up 1 3/4 to 12.10 and 1/4. Novi beans closed at 11.86. That one's down 1 1/4 cents.
Yeah, April crude oil futures today up 2.32 a barrel, 79.88. There it is, knocking on the door, $80.
July cotton down 25 points, 94.34 on your livestock. Heavyweight choice graded box beef prices slipped back under the pivotal 3.10, but select graded beef pushed up through $300 per hundredweight. Movement modest. Traders now expect the cash cattle market to inch higher again this week. April fats $1.67.5 higher, 189.92.5. And April feeder futures up 172.5 to 255.85. Quickly this outside. April lean hog futures posted an inside trading day with a high range open and a close just slightly below the opening range. April hogs 47.5 lower, Chip, 84.87.5.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
What's up, fellas? Handsome newsman Davis Michelson and the handsome anchor Chimp Flurry. What's up?
Oh man, we're just living the dream out here. That's all.
The markets are a dream, but they were pretty impressive today, though. I will say that, although lower, I mean, beans were down about 10 cents, 11 cents, and wheat was down about 10 or 11 cents, and they came back pretty close on change, if not positive. So, you know, listen, There's not a lot to get excited about except for college basketball.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We can do that. But in the markets, when you take, because you watch the currencies, you watch the equities, the commodities, the whole list of things, what is catching your attention at this time?
My attention is that I'm going to say, I can't say when, but I've said this a couple of times, but the equities are near high. You can see by the way they're trading, we're getting these big gap trades in certain stocks like NVIDIA and stocks like that, which only tell you that the poor suckers at the end are getting in now, and they're going to tank them. And I think that, you know, banks are in trouble. 18% of more banks are in trouble. So in other words, another 57 banks are seeking aid. So there's a lot of issues out there that nobody wants to admit to. Inflation continues to soar, so rates aren't coming down, which isn't good for anybody, although they're actually still pretty cheap in perspective to the long term. Look, the markets are in trouble. The grain markets have been steady at least the last couple of weeks, and hopefully they'll find some buyers. And I'm sitting with some poker players that are farmers that are going back to the farm to plant, and they're not going to plant this year. So that's the issues that we're dealing with right now.
Well, if they're not going to plant, just tell them to stay there in Vegas, keep playing poker. take all the dollars they were going to put into putting the crop in the ground and just
and give it to Bubba
and roll the dice, baby. Roll the dice.
Hand it to Bubba, baby. That's what they got to do.
Good stuff. So it's
a tough situation. Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you later. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. We got Ben Rand next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Laurie. Glad that you're with us. Davis Michelson is here as well. Just got an email. I want to get to that as quickly as I can.
Okay.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's one that we will talk with Ben Rand about. Ben Rand from Blue Line Futures and the Home Agency. My friend, Ben, it is good to talk with you again. How are you?
I am great, Chip. It's good to talk to you, too. It's been, it's been a while, I think, hasn't it?
Yeah.
A couple of months
at least, no doubt about it. What are you learning? What are you learning at this time of the year, talking with clients? The insurance questions have just got to be coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's looking for solutions. I was talking to Oliver before I hopped on, and we were just kind of looking back at 22 and 23. And the reality was you could be kind of sloppy in 22 and you could be kind of sloppy in 23 and you came out okay. You cannot be sloppy this year. You got to be real careful with your inputs and you got to look at things. I'm not saying trim up on everything, cause there's things that we can't trim out of our inputs on our per acre production or per head production when it comes to cattle. But, you got to be sharp this year. It's not going to be as forgiving, I fear, as the last 2 years have been. And we were afforded some opportunities and, I think we're going to have some going ahead, but, I'll tell you one thing that is absolutely rocking people's world is the wind and hail rates in Nebraska. They're
really?
Absolutely. Oh man. We've had such catastrophic losses in 21, 22 and 23. I've got some guys, in Kansas and Colorado and I've always thought those rates, and they are, they're really tough to swallow. If you're looking at a really ramped up companion policy, you're looking anywhere from $44 to $61 per hundred. That is a very, very steep rate. And that's very, very tough to stomach out in, the Western Corn Belt. But after the horrible winds and hail and stuff that, really stretched across central Nebraska, a number of companies were forced to take, and I'm serious, it's really substantial rates. We've been trying to run ads on the radio to tell people to look at them early. Going from 20, 25 bucks a hundred to 30, 35 bucks a hundred. It just really got tough. So it's a tight market when it comes to that wind and hail. And what is traditionally, there's a lot of seed corn grown in that part of the world. That's high dollar acres.
Yep.
They all have irrigation on them. And that's another thing, the pivots. Oh my goodness. Go try and buy a new 7-tower, 10-tower pivot with a corner arm on it. You just hope and pray that those puppies don't flip over this year. So I'll tell you the number one thing when I sit down with somebody we're trying to come up with an insurance plan, the first thing I do is I ask them, I say, hey, what are your concerns for the year? And it varies. I cover a huge, I'm licensed in 28 states now, huge territory I run across, and it varies. You can talk to somebody on the Missouri River over by you versus a high desert farmer out here in Western Nebraska. All the plans are different and everybody looks at it different, but I am here to tell you the number one thing everybody's talking about is 466 spring price.
Yeah,
we had a couple of years at 590, 591, had the luxury of having some really good guarantees. 466 doesn't work for a lot of guys.
No.
And that's the biggest concern this year. That and then the wind and hail rates in the Western Corn Belt are getting really tough to handle.
Okay. It's high price, but you don't do without the wind and hail out your way.
No, you can't do it. I mean, you're going to get hit every year. I got some of my best clients and friends down in Goodland, Kansas, and I went down there on a Monday to adjust some hail. And so hail's a private market product, and our agents at the home agency, we adjust our hail for our clients. We're out in the field when the adjusters are there. So when we have a hail event come through, we're actually out there with the adjuster and the farmer, explaining how corn staged and what the defoliation is and why it's getting this and why it's not getting that. And I went down on a Monday and I came back 10 days later from Goodland last year. It was supposed to be a day and back trip, and the hail damage was just it really hard to fathom, is the only way to put it. And so after consecutive years of that, the insurance companies are just forced to raise rates because it's not sustainable where it was.
Yeah. Okay. And then the 466 spring price on corn, spring price on revenue coverage, it like you said, it's not like you can go and buy an 85% coverage and cover break even right now, is it?
No, you can't. So there are some add-on products that you can do. SCO gets you, like if you're at 70 or 75, SCO can get you up to that 85, 86 level. And then yep. The ECO can get you up to the 95% coverage level. But, you know, there's some considerations with those products too. Those are area plans. They run off of county averages. Yep. In places like Nebraska where you're heavily irrigated, when you apply those policies to your underlying multi-peril, you have to buy it on both practices, both dry land and irrigated. Well, the reality is, unless you get wiped out by hail, your irrigated is probably not going to have a loss in the county. So there's probably not a payment there. So those premium dollars could be wasted. And then maybe you pick up a payment on the dry land stuff. So you got to look really careful at those things this year. There are private market products in states too that allow you to buy up to 95%, but man, they're costly. They're really, it's really tough to handle, especially in a year, like I said, where you just can't be sloppy. You got to be frugal and well-minded.
Okay. There's a price tag on them, but does the value generated by that coverage justify the price?
Well, we got to look at it from a couple different perspectives. Yeah. Let's talk about, I wrote a wonderful young woman up in Northeast Nebraska. And you know, she has got more inputs. She's heavier leveraged than say a 65-year-old guy that's been farming right next door to her. So she's got to take into consideration different risk management. I mean, she has a lot of hanging out there. The farmer, right, on the other hand, maybe has some equity set back and some the mature tenured farmer has a little more capital in reserve that he could fall back on if needed. So it's really tough to say blanket wise, because I am not a fan of ECO or SEO in Western Nebraska. I'm a fan of hail and wind coverage out here. But when you cross that river and get into your neck of the woods, ECO and SEO is something worth looking at. So it's really hard to kind of generalize that, but I will tell you a lot of it has to do with how heavily leveraged the producer is. And they want to make sure they can pay their note back and live to fight another day, because it could potentially be a very tight year in corn, and especially beans. That's the other thing we're seeing a lot of, is a lot more corn this year. If you're unhedged, you're looking at break even or maybe some profit on the corn to being $100 to $140 an acre backwards on the beans. And so guys, you know, I don't think anybody's even asked me what the bean spring price is, because everybody just looks at it like a cover crop anymore. They just want to get some coverage on. I mean, yeah, it's just that way. And that's the reality of it. And so, yeah, the 466 thing is something that people have to take into account, you know, and when you look at 85% coverage, it's just really expensive. And you just gotta, it's a balancing act everywhere you go, and it's different everywhere you look.
Okay. When it comes to the revenue coverage, what are we missing that we haven't talked about, Ben? Because I want to move on, but I don't want to leave it before we're done.
No. So there's two things I want to talk about here.
Okay.
One, first and foremost, is ECO. I really believe if you're a non-irrigated guy, dry land guy, I think ECO is worth a look if it's reasonably priced. To be able to get up to 95% of 466, if we get the number of acres that I think are coming, a lot of it weather, and there's all kinds of stuff yet to be determined during the growing season. But if we get the acres coming that I think are coming, it's going to be a wet blanket party when that June WASDE comes out, and we're going to put the fire out on this bull. It's kind of bull market that we're looking at in the corn right now. And I think we got to be real careful with that. And two ways to buy yourself up to 95%. Federal regulation says you can't insure more than 95% of your crop. So two ways to do it. One is through ECO, which is government subsidized. It goes off of county production. The second way is a product called RPP, it's an additional revenue protection policy. I like RPP. It is more expensive and it is not government subsidized. But the reason I like it is, excuse me, you can, it runs off of your production. So you get paid in the same year. Whenever you report your production, if you got a loss, we pay it. ECO, you got to wait until the summer of the following year before we get them county numbers to come in. But it is not cheap. Typically, I'm seeing rates of about 30%. So if you're buying a, if your RPP policy gives you an extra $100 worth of coverage, you're going to pay about $30 to get it. So it's not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. But if you bought 80% coverage and you got a, say, an $800 guarantee and you got $900 worth of inputs, that is $30 well spent, because you know, even in a worst case scenario, your production, should you be zeroed out, is going to pay your note back and you live to fight another year. And there's a lot of security in having that type of an option out there. I will tell people, I've quoted it. I write a lot of it. And I love the product, but it's a sticker shock when I quote it to guys. It really is. But man, to be able to cover your input, there's a value. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's the bottom line. Okay. We threw some acronyms around there. ECO, enhanced coverage option. SCO, supplemental coverage option. We've got those covered. Next, I want to talk about the PRF, pasture, range, and forage. Some of the, a little bit of a different way of looking thing. And we're going to get to the LRP too. More acronyms.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 8 cents lower at 579.5. July SRW wheat down 2.5 cents to 558.25. May corn futures were a half a penny lower at 441.25. December corn futures closed at 473. That one's up a whole quarter of a cent. May soybean futures were 0.75 cents higher at 1196.75. July soybeans up 1.75 cents to 1210.25. Novi beans at 1186 on the close. That's down 1.25 cents. July cotton down 25 points, 94.34. On your livestocks, April fats 167.5 higher today, 189.92.5. April feeders up 172.5 to 255.85. And April lean hog futures 47.5 lower, 84.87.5. Try ProFarmer.com.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Ben Rand from Blue Line Futures and the Home Agency. We've covered a lot of ground so far. And I want to keep things going because PRF, pasture range and forage coverage. Ben, I think when you and I first had a conversation about PRF a couple of years ago, use was still relatively light. What's the situation today? Are more people using it?
Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you how many states I flew around in. On the front range of the Missouri or the Rocky Mountains. It is so prolific. It has grown just by leaps and bounds in the last 2 years. Excuse me. I'm trying to get over. I had pneumonia last week, so I'm still hacking up a little bit of lung here. So
I'm with you. I'm with you. You're okay.
There are two programs that the American cattlemen specifically guys that have cattle on grass, absolutely must look at every year. LRP is one of them, and PRF, pasture ranger and forage, is the other. The way it works is the entire United States is cut up into grids, and you find your grass within a grid. And the way we look at it here at the home agency is we pull up a 5, a 10, 15, and a 20-year index of rainfall in that grid. And we look at how each month performs, and we analyze it on a basis of how the rain comes down and what intervals historically pay very, very well in PRF. You are required to pick at least two intervals over the course of a year, no less than two. You could pick all 12 months if you desired. But what we really try to do is take your coverage dollars and put it in intervals that have historically paid very well. And sometimes that's counterintuitive. And I'll give you an example here real quick. Okay. Let's say you're in South Dakota, and I wrote a bunch up in South Dakota, and I'm sure some of these guys are listening chuckling because they're like, there's no way this is going to work. Well, the reality is they typically get a lot of precip in Jan and Feb. And you would think, well, if I got cattle on grass or I'm going to hay it or whatever, I really don't care what kind of snowfall I get in January, February. I'm more concerned about July, August, or June, July, August, or, one of the hot, dry, typical months. Well, the reality is those months usually don't get rain. So if they don't get rain again this year, that is not a departure from the normal. That is the normal. We need to look for time slots that typically have pretty good rainfall. And if they miss it, you're going to collect. And my folks in South Dakota and Wyoming, their first intervals for Jan Feb this year were just phenomenal, because that's how we look at it. We look at it from a 5, a 10, a 15, and a 20-year index, and we see how it performs. It is so heavily subsidized. Some of the stuff I wrote out in Wyoming, you're talking anywhere from 80 cents to $1 an acre. That's all it's going to cost the producer. And he's buying $7 worth of coverage, $8 worth of coverage per acre. Very cheap. Very, very, very cheap. And then you look at some of the higher production hay ground in the Dakotas, Western Iowa, Eastern Nebraska. It's a little bit more. You're talking $30 an acre, but you're getting $440, $470 worth of coverage. And all it does is it runs off the nearest weather stations. And if you don't get rain, you get paid. And it's a phenomenal program. In fact, you might've seen there were some guys that plugged some rain gauges in Southeast Colorado and got caught last week.
Yeah.
whoops. But yeah, the reality is that's how it works. It runs off of rainfall. And it is a phenomenal program. If you are a cattleman and you run cattle on grass somewhere west of Missouri River, you absolutely have to look at this. It's just a great program to help supplement feed cost in the years you don't get rain. So yeah, I'm a huge, it's exploded. It's a great program for those guys that have cattle on grass or guys that hay.
Right. Okay. Now, PRF versus weather derivatives.
Yes, sir.
What's the difference?
Okay, so with PRF, that's a true insurance product. So you have to have access to the acres that you're insuring. You got to, delineate, are you haying them? Are you grazing them? And there's different rates for all that stuff. But most importantly, you got to have legal access to the ground. And if you're grazing them, you got to own cattle. If you're haying them, you got to have the ability to hay them. So there's some insurance requirements for your insurability there, your insurable interest in that ground should you not get the rainfall. A weather derivative is totally different. Weather derivative, the insurable, it's not even an insurance product. It's a weather contract. And the way it works, there are so many wild things you can do with it. You can literally pick any acre in the United States that you want to buy rainfall coverage on. Not only that, you can buy lack of rainfall or you can buy excess rainfall. Right now guys are looking at it like, oh, my pasture is going to burn up. I better buy a weather derivative because I missed the sales closing date on PRF. Okay. That's a simple way to look at it. There's other ways to look at it too, though. Let's say and I think you saw some of my examples on Twitter the other day,
Absolutely. But
let's say I'm a dairy and I consistently buy alfalfa from a series of farms that I'm looking at the weather models and I'm really concerned they aren't going to have the alfalfa that I need.
Yeah.
How do I hedge those alfalfa costs? I'm going to have to drive further. I'm going to have higher freight. I'm going to pay more for it. How do I hedge against that stuff? Well, you can buy a weather derivative against that ground that alfalfa farm sits on. And should they not get the rain, you collect money. And here's the other nice thing where acres are apt by the risk management agency. There's only so many dollars per acre that you can buy in PRF. There's a $10 million cap in a weather derivative. So you can, I mean, you can buy like really big chunks. Only that, PRF, you got to sign up for by 1 December of the year prior and choose all your intervals. And sometimes you can miss an interval. You're like, oh, now you're looking at the weather models. Things are getting bad. I need to buy some coverage, but I can't get it through PRF. I'm too late. It's just a nice way to have a secondary option, because a weather derivative can start as soon as 20 days after it's quoted. So what is it today? The 13th. So I could start, like, if you wanted one on your lawn and you didn't want to have to pay a water bill, we can start a weather derivative on your lawn effective the 24th of this month. So there's that extra flexibility. The other one that I give examples to people, you know, you and I have seen the floods come and go along the Missouri River, 2011, 18, 19, total mess. They're all a result of really large snowpack on the front range of the mountains up in Montana. And that those farmers that farm along the bottom there, they can actually buy an excess precipitation. So we have more than the normal, and they can buy it against the front range in Montana, because they know if there's way too much snow in December and January in Montana, that they aren't going to be able to run the planter across those acres in Council Bluffs, Nebraska, or Council Bluffs, Iowa, or Blair, Nebraska. Yeah. So that there's tons of different ways to look at it. It is more expensive. Weather derivatives are not federally subsidized, so they are a higher rate. Yep.
See, but Ben, this all gets back to what you said is the first question that you sit down and ask a farmer when you're trying to figure it out. What is your concern? What do we need to cover? And if too much water down the Missouri River is one of the things that you got to cover, this is something that you could look at, and it's good stuff. Good stuff. We got to move on to LRP.
Let's go. But those are two really neat products. So PRF is definitely, I'm glad you brought it up. It's not the right time of year. You can't buy it till November, but it's good because people are going to burn up this year. They're going to burn up, and they're going to be like, oh, I wish I had done it. And so it's good to plant the seed now so that we know that, you know, they can do something, you know, further down the road. Let's talk LRP.
Yep. Okay. Here we are. We're back up to, I mean, the April contract, live cattle contract, 189.92 and a half. We're back up at price levels that I got to believe that LRP coverage is very popular right now.
I will tell you, February was an absolute crazy month for me on LRP, specifically with feeders. I was looking at Q3, Q4 feeders for guys this year. And when you're looking at 275, so the way that the feeder side of the LRP works is on the steers that weigh between 600 and 1,000 pounds, those settle directly against the CME feeder index. And I'm going to throw out some numbers here, and all this stuff, I'm good with numbers, but this all goes back to public data. This is stuff that everyone can look at. I post this stuff all the time. The highest the CME feeder index has ever been was September 20th. Last year was 254.09. You can buy coverage for your 9-weight steers at like 270, 272. You're literally setting a coverage level at a number we have never achieved in the history of the United States. We've never been there. Extremely popular with them, the feeder calves. Now, when you're talking about fat cattle, those settle against the 5-area index on the 80% choice or higher series. Not quite as attractive. Plus, the shortest contract's only 13 weeks away from today. So, like, I couldn't do anything in, you know, April or May, really. Maybe June would be the first contract that is available through LRP. But, you know, something I want to talk about here real quick is, as I'm looking at my charts, we often talk about this nearby contract. Let's go out and look at live cattle, April 25, 195.97. Up until this cattle cycle that we're in right now, the highest the April contract had ever been was the April 2015 contract. That record was set on the 20th and 21st of October of 2014. That record was 172.75. We are looking at coverage levels 20 plus dollars in excess of prior records. Now, I'm not saying you got to buy LRP. I know it's a fixed cost, and it has its quirks just like everything else. But the American cattleman has got to have some protection on at these levels. Yep. The risk here to the downside is so substantial. And I know we're short cattle, shortest number since 51. I get it. I understand all that stuff. But just like they were talking earlier, the equities, we have some financial problems brewing, and you're naive if you don't think so. And we got to be keep our eyes on the prize here, because being able to lock up a 196 is just awesome. What an opportunity for guys.
Yeah. You know, but even if you buy the LRP and don't collect, so what?
You made it in the cash.
You're making it up in the cash.
Yep.
Good stuff. Ben, no, let's talk more often, buddy.
No, it's a popular program. Encourage cattlemen need to look at it. It's a great way to head.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with Chip Flory.
Yeah. Don't forget I got that email that I want to get to, too.
You got an email you want to get to, too?
Well, yeah.
Desmond? Desmond? Is that you? Huh? What?
Will October live cattle get to 190 futures, or October do you see a correction before that?
Currently at 187, 12 and a half, up $1.25 on the day. So we're what? Call it just shy of $3 out from 190 in the October fats.
In the October fed cattle. Now, I'm going to have to spread this out. Just take a little bit of another look. You got a contract high. Goes back to September 15th at 194.67.5. Okay. The October contract had been consolidating around the 185 level. It had been having a lot of trouble. I mean, it's still having a huge amount of trouble. At the November 3rd high of 187.10, but look at that. What'd you say the close was?
Today 187 and 12 and a half.
12 and a half. So we closed a tick above that resistance level today.
Okay.
One close above resistance does not break that resistance. You need to get some follow through to it. And then and then as Dan says, 190 is the next level that we're really going to run into some resistance in the October live cattle. If I was going to do the analysis based on the supply side of the market, the supply side fundamentals that we all know is very, very tight, I'd say no, it's easily getting to 190. What I don't know is how retailers and consumers are going to react to the heavyweight choice box beef at $310 a hundred. If the retailers back away from beef and decide that beef features at that price post Easter do not make sense, then we're close. I mean, we're within three bucks of 190, but we might not get there just simply because the demand isn't in the market to support it.
Okay. Couple of questions, because you're right. If we're looking at the box beef, choice, is down a little bit. We had in the news slipped back below the 310 level, but select is up, pushed up through $300 per hundredweight. Now, when we're looking for a response from the consumer, number one, can we actually tie it to a rise in the futures? And number two, how long does it take for that to percolate through the market and for the market to realize, now, oh my gosh, the consumers aren't going to buy beef at this price? We're out.
Box beef is a cash market.
Okay.
So it reflects what's happening in reality.
The cash market doesn't lie.
Almost immediately. I mean, there can be some noise in that market. There can be some smoke and mirrors. But, you know what the beef market is? Sell it or smell it. One of the two.
Yeah, keep it moving.
You got to keep it moving. And if you don't keep it moving, it will be reflected in a lower box beef market. There, no question about it. So that trickles down very quickly.
Okay.
Very quickly. I mean, the beef market and its relationship to live cattle futures, I mean, it's gonna square up every week. It's got to.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to.
Well, and then that leads me kind of to the next question for, was it Dan who sent an email?
Yep.
Hello, Dan. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. Okay. So sounds like maybe, quite honestly, half probably, we get to 190 in the October fat cattle. What then? What are you going to do then? Who cares? What's the difference?
Well, you see.
What do you do then?
There's exactly what I was going to say in answering the question. When we're talking about cattle prices at the level that we're talking about, does $3 really matter? Can't you say that 187 is 190? I mean, it's like waiting for the last penny in corn when it's getting up to $7.
Oh, that's a good point.
Okay, I don't think I'm going to worry about it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I think I'd be much more inclined to say, I don't want to see the 187 turn into 167.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, get me some protection in place.
You know what you always say? Don't predict price.
Yeah.
Protect it.
Right.
I don't know if that applies here. It feels like maybe
it does.
Feels like maybe
it does. Are you kidding? That's you're bringing it. You are bringing it. That is exactly right. So why wait for 190 when you're at 187? And I know the margins are tight. I know that there are reasons, but why wait for it to turn into 167?
Mm-hmm.
When you've got this market in front of you right now, it's not easy.
There's that swirl of discipline and flexibility right there, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. All right. March 13th. Yes, March 13th.
You got it.
National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook for March 19th through the 23rd. Get the Speedos on up in Alaska, right? Below normal temperatures expected. North Dakota, northern half of South Dakota, most of Minnesota, Wisconsin, far eastern Illinois, and points to the east. Near normal to above normal temperatures expected in the western Corn Belt. We've got above normal precipitation coming back into the western belt. Looks, I mean, seriously, basically everything west of the Mississippi River is expected to see above normal precipitation, near normal precip out to the east. Wow. We covered a lot of ground today. Hey, come back tomorrow morning. We're going to talk acres and the Allendale survey with Rich Nelson from Allendale Inc. right here on AgriTalk.